News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Speaking of the nappy voting, congratulations. You're up for a singular award. We're up for a team award, I know.
Yes, we're up for a couple team awards.
Sean Sullivan is up for an award. Of course, he's always going to be a singular. He's got the one-man show, Midday Mobile.
Right.
How does it all break down now? You've got a shot at something, I know.
So let's just go through these categories, which voting began on Wednesday. So you can vote now at votenappies.com. For best overall radio personality, you have Sean Sullivan,
yes,
who's in the mix, and myself.
Fantastic.
So two of us fighting it out in there, among others.
That could get bloody.
It could, yeah.
We'll try to keep it. Go at it.
We'll try to keep it fair, above the belt for as long as possible.
All
but, you know, by May 26th, there may be friendships that have been ended from this.
That's a long run-up.
I'm not asking you to pick a side.
Yeah.
But at some point, you're going to have to.
Let me give this long consideration.
Also, I think this is the one I'm most excited about. Best radio lifestyle show, because FM Talk 106.5 is absolutely just dominating this category. Several shows up for that one. Danny Lipford.
Sure.
Hosting
his swan song.
Yeah, his swan song. That's right. It's his. It's like his last season. He's doing the tour. You have Coasting in Retirement with Josh Knoll, Plain Gardening with Bill Finch.
Love that show.
Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu. More on that duo later. And also What's Working with Cam Marston. So we're all over that category. For Best Sports Show, you have the Paul Feinbaum Show up for your votes there, which is, of course, on FM Talk 106.5. Best Talk Radio Host / Show. This is where it gets interesting. You have me.
Mm-hmm.
We have you. Mm-hmm. So you can vote for Dan Brennan. You can vote for Jeff Poor of The Jeff Poor Show. And you can vote for Sean Sullivan of Midday Mobile. So all four of us in that category. Best Morning Show, Mobile Mornings with Dalton, with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig up there.
And I'm telling you, I cannot tell you how many people came up to me yesterday and said they listen every day.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, we're doing all right, man.
DeBoer, is he listening every day?
DeBoer's not listening every day. No.
We'll work on him. Best DJ team, Dan and Dalton up for that one. And best favorite radio station, favorite FM radio station. So we would appreciate your votes. VoteNappies.com. And I think you have until, May 26th at 11:59 p.m. That is the deadline, that the final Sunday of the month.
That's nice. By the way, cutest thing happened yesterday. The woman who sang the national anthem was to the side of the stage, so I didn't get the chance to tell her. She was tremendous.
Really?
Her name is Brooke Engel, and it was just like, wow, tear the roof off the place. And so after the event, after we gave away the Kalen DeBoer autographed helmet.
Oh, his coaching helmet.
an Alabama helmet and an autographed football. I happened to see the young lady on the way out, and I just told her, and she had her little boy with her. And I just said, boy, you were great. That was a great job on the national anthem. And the little boy was just kind of standing there, you know, the little awkward age, maybe 9 or 10 years old or something. And he was kind of standing there, and then I met him. I said, hey, nice to meet you. And he said, sir? I said, yeah. He said, you did a good job up there. And I was like, well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
So I guess I was nice to his mother, so he wanted to be nice to me.
He returned the compliment.
He did, but he was a cute little kid, but she was, I was nothing to write home about. She was tremendous, and we had a great time last night. And I Kalen DeBoer is a very likable guy. He doesn't come across gruff or anything like that.
Yeah.
He just comes across as a football coach. Just a guy, just a dude, like nothing that would really get your attention.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, his results on the field, when you look at what he's done in his coaching career, has been crazy good.
Yeah, of course. And, I saw some ranking. You'll see a headline pop up from ESPN or something. You click on it. You want to see something good about your coach, not another coach. But they ranked the coaches going into the season. They had DeBoer top three, which makes sense. I mean, he had Washington, got him to the national championship game.
A couple of years.
But what a pair of shoes he has to fill.
He does. He had a funny story about Kane Womack, who was the South head coach, and now, of course, is DeBoer's defensive coordinator, and they've been friends for a long time. He said his first trip in the state of Alabama was down here to Mobile. Mm. And in this area, it might have had to do with Ryan Williams. I don't know, the Saraland commit. They finally got on board. But he said when they went into the coach's room or the where they went, coach's or kid's house or something like that, he said Kane Womack was still in South Alabama mode. And he said, "Hi, I'm Kane Womack. I'm the head coach." And the boy said, "You're not the head coach." "Oh, I'm sorry. So anyway, Womack is up in Tuscaloosa and probably going to do a great job too.
What's the, and I never got the final result because I don't know if we as a collective Jags fans have decided, what are we going to do about Womack? Are we feeling bad that he left for Alabama? Are we letting it slide?
Oh, you got to let it slide.
He stayed in state? Or I just don't, if Womack makes a return trip, let's say for some reason Alabama's playing here in Mobile.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you
That'd
know,
be nice.
For some reason Womack ends, are we booing? What are we doing?
Not booing.
We're not booing Womack?
You can't boo a guy from leaving South, even though it's a head job and takes defensive job in Alabama. Can you imagine if they have a great defense for a year or two? The offers that he will get from major schools.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Indiana probably considered him.
I'm sure they did.
When they let that guy go,
yeah.
who was the head man that when he was up there, they probably considered him strongly then because they thought so much of him when he was there. It's not only the wins and losses that you produce on the field, the relationships you make when you're at certain places, the impression that you give people, you know,
yeah.
like we could work with this guy, you know, we like this guy, we can work with this guy. So I think Kane's got a lot of that sentiment out there across the nation.
See, he seems like a good guy. And when I've met him, he's been a good guy.
Yeah.
I just as fans of one team, I don't know if we can let something like that slide.
You can let it slide,
lest
Dalton.
It start happening more often.
You don't want it. If you don't want it to slide, don't let it slide.
Okay.
But I think overall, the people are going to be lucky. You had a chance to go to Alabama, of course.
I guess. It'll help the sting a lot more if South ends up being great under Applewhite
yeah,
these next
that.
Few years. So
I'd love that.
We will see. I do know at that event you went to last night, while it was full of fans of sports and football, I doubt any of them gamble on football, right? Probably no sports bettors in that room at all last night.
If I had a dollar for, well, three or four times somebody said to me yesterday, "What's going on with the gambling?" So they're depending on us to straighten it all out. And I'm trying to tell them, this is not an easy job for us to be the straighter outers.
Right. It's confusing.
It is.
It's very confusing. And now you've got the different players at hand here kind of making their own comments and statements on what's went down in Montgomery the last couple of days. Even Donald Trump Jr. Now getting involved in the gambling debate in Alabama.
Really?
You have Cliff Sims, who... I don't know if founder is the correct term. I think he did found Yellowhammer News. He was in charge of Yellowhammer News for some time before he joined the Trump team for the 2016 campaign. And Cliff Sims yesterday was basically commenting on what happened in Montgomery on Tuesday this week. He said, "I've been involved in Alabama politics since 2010, and this is the through line from then until now. Gaming issues come up. Everyone says this is the year. Gaming interests go to war. Things go down in flames, rinse, and repeat." That was the commentary from Cliff Sims, formerly of Yellowhammer News, then with the Trump campaign. So Donald Trump Jr. Sees Cliff Sims' tweet, and on a more national level to his audience, he says, "I'm excited to be in Alabama next week for a fundraiser for my dad." I think that's going to be in Birmingham, a dinner they're going to have. He said, "But whenever I ask anyone from there what's going on in the state, this is all they talk about. Why is their Senate refusing to let the people vote on a clean bill to legalize the lottery and fund education when 45 states already do it? Wouldn't they rather keep the billions of dollars in Alabama instead of sending it to other states? Makes no sense to me." So Trump Jr. with pretty much the same line that you'll hear a lot of people say,
mm-hmm.
"Give us the vote on the lottery. How come we're one of only five states who doesn't? And are you okay with the money going to the other states?" Maybe the actual discussion may be a little more layered and nuanced than that, but I think that's what a lot of people say is the exact same thing that Trump Jr. said yesterday. So now you have PCI getting involved. And I think, of course, the Porch Band of Creek Indians, a major player in all of this, but it's never been more obvious than with State Senator Greg Allbritton pulling his vote this week, as he voted to get it through the committee, mm-hmm. where you had three members of the House and three members of the Senate working on something that they don't see eye to eye on whatsoever. He votes it out of committee, but then is a no vote through and through once it gets to the Senate. And his reasoning behind that was that the state and the way they negotiated this, because they don't give up enough for PCI, that Albritton just can't vote for him. That was pretty much what his statement was. Now,
well, I would think that that's a would it be a stretch to say that is a directive from PCI?
You would think so.
To
right?
Albritton, yeah.
And so PCI comes out with a statement yesterday and kind of, it seems to me like they're taking the moral high ground on this in a way. So just a reminder, what this gambling bill would do would legalize, it would basically legalize slot machines in pretty much all forms in seven different locations. And that would be four existing racetracks, one of them the Greyhound track here in Mobile, and then three existing bingo hall locations. So they would get basically slot machines legalized there. At the Indian casinos, the current PCI locations in Atmore, Montgomery, and Wetumpka, they would get table games in addition to slot machine games. Now, there would be no sports betting. There would be a lottery with all of the lottery revenue going towards the Education Trust Fund. But previously in these discussions, they had talked about a fourth PCI location, a fourth casino that the Porch Band of Creek Indians could open up on non-reservation land. And I believe that was going to go into northeast Alabama, although there's been a lot of talk about OWA and possibly putting something there too. But that was not included in this latest legislation. So PCI then yesterday puts out a statement saying, "We, like so many others in our state, are deeply concerned that the bill currently being considered in the Senate will be passed and have disastrous long-term impacts on Alabamians." Remember, this is Porch Band of Creek Indians, said, "Clearly, voters are anxious to have a chance to vote on a clear and complete plan for gaming, but a careful reading of this bill uncovers that the good intentions of legislators to craft a gaming plan that will limit and tax gaming in our state have not been realized." All right, now they get into what's quote-unquote worrisome about this bill.
And by the way, I've never been to one of these places, these
bingo halls.
Bingo halls in I think less populated areas of the state, it seems, right? Mm-hmm. So anyway, this is where these would be. Correct?
And it's right. And it's all a workaround. We're talking slot machines pretty much in all of these locations, whether they call them bingo halls or historic horse racing. You're talking about slot machines for the most part. So PCI continues in their statement, "Among our most serious concerns are provisions in the bill that would open the door to a mass expansion of games powered by artificial intelligence that mimic, with frightening accuracy, Las Vegas-style casino offerings, including poker, roulette, and other Class 3 games." So that's their one worry here, is that these slot machines with AI will become so believable that you won't be able to tell whether you're playing a game of poker in Vegas with your buddies or you're playing a slot machine. All right, so that's worry number one from PCI. Worry number two, they say, additionally, the details of the bill allow for electronic gaming that mimics pinball, skee ball, and pool, games that clearly target children with no built-in controls.
Yeah, like candy cigarettes back in the day. Like, what are you doing?
Exactly. That's pretty much their argument.
Are they going to put these things in daycares?
As far as I know, no.
Daycares in Greene County are going to have yeah. games that confuse the kids and hook them?
PCI says, "We continue to support a lottery and are optimistic that our legislature will find a way to pass a clear and complete gaming bill that regulates, controls, and taxes gaming businesses and that also reflects the value of our state." But I found that interesting. Their two big worries are that the slot machine games will be too realistic.
Yeah.
And also that they're going to bring the kids in because it resembles a pinball machine or skee ball.
Well, there'll be somebody at the door that says you can't come in here unless you're 21 or 18. What would that be?
I mean, I would imagine that's the case, right? Every casino I've ever been in, they've got someone looking around, looking at faces, seeing who's young in there.
There's not kids running around. I was in Biloxi, you know, back in the wintertime, and everybody seemed to be, a lot of people seemed to be 75 and older, to be honest with you. So there was no problem there. I didn't ask for anybody's ID. 821 FM Talk 106.5 R. Campus Chaos Whip Around. We've got that for you on the way.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Want to make you a winner right now.
Yeah, sure do. Not just you, but your entire family. A family four-pack for the Eco Wild Outdoor Expo. It's going to be a great time. Not this weekend, but next weekend, May 10th through the 12th at the Mobile Convention Center, beginning at noon on Friday. Eco Wild Outdoor Expo. They're going to have all kinds of great seminars, things you can learn. Even the Auburn Eagle will be there, but also for the kids, all kinds of things like a you've got the axe throwing, a BB gun range, rock climbing wall, bees exhibition, kids fishing, all kinds of things at the Eco Wild Outdoor Expo at the Mobile Convention Center next weekend. And right now, a family four-pack to caller number three at 251-343-0106. Family four-pack to caller number three for the Eco Wild Outdoor Expo next weekend, May 10th through 12th. You can check it out for ticket information and other information at ecowildexpo.com.
827 Campus Chaos Whip Around now. And my apologies, really. I got to say that it's bad on me. Because we've taken some shots at UCLA and Columbia, City College of New York. Well, this one really didn't make the news big time because it was a quiet protest. So at least it didn't go off the rails.
But it kind of went off the rails.
Wednesday at the University of Alabama, the first protest of its kind at the university in all of this, and a guy named Colvis Petruskis.
Yeah.
You know, Alabama's got a lot of students from out of state.
Is he a kicker?
he doesn't sound like he's from Hueytown. But so there could be some out-of-state students that started all this. Anyway, you had the pro-Palestinian protest at the University of Alabama in Tuscaloosa. And to be fair, I wanted to make sure that we got that out there. Now, it wasn't all violent like you've seen at other places. Not that I saw, anyway.
No, there was cursing, though.
These kids trying to grow up to be cops?
So, I can't, you know, it's just kind of embarrassing that the campus whip around became our thing this week.
And
we just missed the Tuscaloosa protest in our campus whip around.
Yeah, I mean, if they could have been at Spring Hill College, it wouldn't look any worse. So,
from what I heard at the Tuscaloosa protest, everyone did agree on one thing, and that was with the anti-Israel protesters and the pro-Israel protesters all chanting blank Joe Biden.
That was at Tuscaloosa?
In Tuscaloosa.
Wow.
From what I understand. So they did at least agree on that at the Tuscaloosa protest. Congratulations, Johnny, picking up the family four-pack for the Eco Wild Outdoor Expo next weekend at the Mobile Convention Center. Johnny wins that family four-pack, and we'll have more tickets for you to win this hour with the Judas Priest show coming up here in just a little bit. But missed the Tuscaloosa protest. Some of the texts we've gotten this morning. Matt says, morning guys, if any of y'all believe that Porch Creek is worried about Class 3 gaming and the kids, then I'm a poster child for Weight Watchers. I'm not buying that crap. If they had a chance at full Class 3 gaming, they would jump on it in a second. Yeah, this is just, it's obvious this isn't good enough deal for the Porch Band of Creek Indians.
This seems to be the case.
Rebecca says, I'm calling BS on PCI. They are protecting their pockets only. Pete says, Cliff Sims lost all credibility with his nothing burger tell-all betrayal of Trump. No one cares what he thinks. Yeah, the Cliff Sims book, now I read a lot of it, not all of it. I don't think he took any pot shots or tried to throw
Trump
anyone under the bus. I know the Trump administration wasn't happy he put that book out, but I don't think he was doing it with malice like maybe you saw some of these other people from the Trump administration.
Formerly of Yellowhammer News, right?
Right. A35 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings on a Friday. Right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive where we talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
We're great. Looks like another fantastic weekend on the Gulf Coast and a good time to get over to McConnell Automotive and check out those trucks, SUVs, and cars you have on the lot.
God, we do. The parking spots are being taken up by all this inventory. Man, we have to park a mile and walk. I mean, we've got a great selection. You talking about Yukons, Tahoes, Sierras, Silverados. I mean, y'all want a car? We've got it. I promise you. McConnellAutomotive.com. Man, you can check it all out online. Like I said, we're going to be here all weekend. It's going to be a great weekend. So come by and see us. We got some more interest rates, good interest rates on these trucks. Also got some veteran money on some, if you're a veteran, on the new truck. I think it's a $500 rebate. So looking for one of those new trucks, come on by. We've got all the colors, red, white, and blue. So come see us.
Good stuff. McConnell taking care of the veterans. We appreciate it, Louie.
Hey, thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive, Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
A couple of things I want to get to here. Biden finally ends his silence talking about college protests. We'll get to the timing of that. Also, some new demands coming from the New York Police Chief, Eric Adams, about what's happening at...
The mayor or the police chief?
Police chief.
Eric Adams is doing it?
I'm sorry. The police chief is...
Okay. Well, Eric
No. Adams is the... Yeah.
The mayor.
Let me look real quick, because he was...
I don't know the police chief's name, though.
He was in law enforcement, so it's Mayor Adams, but yeah. So anyway, I think of him as being a cop, because that's what he was. So anyway, Biden speaking out, I think for the first time, on all of this.
On the campus protests.
And here's what he had to say yesterday.
Destroying property is not a peaceful protest. It's against the law. Vandalism, trespassing, breaking windows, shutting down campuses, forcing the cancellation of classes and graduations. None of this is a peaceful protest.
I'm not going to take the easy shots at Biden. That's easy to do. And so this is not, that's not what this is about.
So this isn't easy for you.
This is, it's like, did somebody, I'll go ahead and say it though. Did somebody just nudge him awake in the recliner and said, you need to turn on NBC now. There's something going on out
something
there.
Something crazy.
And so all this started beginning at Columbia on the 17th of April.
Was that kind of the first big protest?
That's when the encampment started. Okay. That's when they started doing things that were troublesome / illegal, whatever. So you had from April the 17th to now, it's the 3rd of May.
Yeah.
And nothing was said from the President of the United States. And you were talking about how, you know, Trump would be, they'd need his opinion on any kind of protest.
Well, yeah, we
minutes
saw
after it happened.
For 4 years. Yeah,
right.
Anytime anything happened, he had, I mean, they wouldn't just ask for comment. They would ask him to condemn whatever evil activity was going on.
So even in the condemnation of the violent protesters, he also said, you know, having any kind of feelings, negative feelings toward Islam, that's not America. This is in the face of this highly anti-Semitic rhetoric going on these campuses.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the time to put your arm around, and condemning Islamophobia.
Well, at this point,
at this moment,
it's reflexive. It just happens whenever you start asking Biden or any politician, any Democrat. Hey, what do you think about what's going on out there? He's immediately, that's his go-to is, I don't like anti-Semitism, and I don't like Islamophobia. He can't say one without the other. He has to let everyone know that he doesn't like the racism one bit, and that includes everyone involved. And I think it was what Cameron Smith on with Sean the other day. You look at these people who are on these college protests, you know, the main ones who are doing the anti-Israel protesting, and so what is your life view? Like, and the way Cameron Smith put it was, we don't like racism and we don't like Jews. Basically, it's got their anti-Jew.
Yeah, but they don't.
But
like
you ask them anything else, and I'm sure they're anti-racist to the core. That's how they would kind of describe themselves.
Incredible.
But just with this hatred for the Jews. You know?
Right. Give us a one-off on that. Otherwise, we're good.
And then you have, you know, this legislation that sailed through the House, and they're going after some of the Republicans who voted against it. But this anti-Semitic rhetoric, and basically, I mean, taking direct aim at many First Amendment rights that people have. Mm-hmm. And I understand using the emotion, all these anti-Israel protests, but they're using that to pass speech laws mm-hmm. that don't necessarily line up with the American
Constitution.
With freedom.
Yeah.
So but because of the rhetoric that's out there right now, and just because they're able to move things quickly through Congress, the few people that did speak out against this, of course, are being labeled as anti-Semitic, anti-Israel, just mm-hmm. for being against this thing. But yeah, not surprising to me that as soon as Biden gets a chance to speak out on it, he's also saying, "Hey, don't forget, don't be Islamophobic."
Well, it's not. He just got the chance to speak out on it. It's when he chose to speak out on it, which was 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole nation's been watching this. And again, number one, you do have this problem with his accessibility, which even the New York Times has come hard on him about, man, we need you to speak to the nation. We need you to talk to us, because then we'll put it out so the nation can have an understanding of what the top guy in charge thinks about X, Y, or Z, mm-hmm. right? So we finally get this from him yesterday on what's going on the campuses. Now, you talk about freedom. Well, it doesn't look like, according to Eric Adams, none of this is free. So what is the cost of these protests and these violent protests and the police action trying to get those people out of that building and all that? And Eric Adams says, we want your money, Columbia. So if you're a private school, Columbia, let's City College of New York, not. Fordham University, yes. Of course, any of the Ivies, private mm-hmm. schools. What he's saying is, you need to pay us.
Pay up.
Like what we did, that police accident we did, it was your fault that it got that far, that we had to go in and do that.
Mm.
It was.
Did he put a dollar amount on it?
He did not.
Okay.
So I'm just looking at it. Let me just give you a quote here. Let's see what he says.
I'm sure you got the overtime hours for the police department. That'll be part of what he says.
I would think we believe that Columbia should contribute to the cost of our operation. And let's see if he said anything else, but there's got to be a cost to this.
The city is already being, wrung dry from how many migrants that have come in.
That they're
taking.
So you have that too, right? And he was calling that city an absolute disaster before this.
Right.
So this is on top of that.
So he's asking Columbia to pay up, and I'm sure Columbia gets all kinds of federal subsidies too.
Yeah, it says one way to prevent. Now this is so ridiculous that this Monday morning quarterbacking, it's like, yeah, you think, you know what I mean? One way to prevent the cost from escalating is to have zero tolerance.
Mm.
Right. As soon as the tents go up, they come down. Do not allow this to continue to expand. That's what we saw at Columbia. I don't remember that the Eric Adams or the police department was losing their mind when the tents first went up, but I guess it wasn't their job to shut it all down. But he is giving it to Columbia here, saying you were too tolerant in the beginning of all this. And that's what we've talked about. Campus A, Campus B, Campus Z.
Yeah. Nip it early in the butt.
And you're not going to have this.
Right.
And they sit around in some sort of a think tank saying, oh, what do we do now? Oh, what do you think we should do? And they're in their offices and libraries until they get broken into
right.
by the mobs themselves.
Yeah.
And so anyway, the reply to all of these protests, violent protests, has been so meager, so weak. That's, you're afraid to police, you're afraid to hurt anybody's feelings. Now look what you have on your plate. And I hope Columbia's got to pay like heck to the New York PD. I hope they do.
We'll see. But yeah, when you're talking about people in charge of college campuses, when it comes time for real action, they're not going to be ready. Their life is about theorizing and how things might look best in front of the media or in front of this group of people. When it actually comes time to, hey, you can't do that here. I don't expect anyone from some of those schools to lay down the hammer.
Theorizing poorly.
Yeah.
Their job is to theorize poorly. And you just have one line of thinking. This is so funny about these campuses where you have basically one line of thinking. student wise and the faculty for sure. What was it? Less than 0.5% at Harvard consider themselves
conservative.
Conservative. That's crazy. How do you teach with just one ideology? And so you have that, and now here comes the confusing double screwball. Well, they're screaming at our Jewish students, but they're Islamic, yeah. So we don't want to look like we're Islamophobia. And so let's huddle up and talk about what we do. Yeah. Meanwhile, these students have felt threatened. They've been threatened. And they make up a good part of your student body.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing that Ivy League schools, I don't know what year it was, but for years, they were not, Jews need not apply to the Ivy League schools back in the day.
And then, you know, a lot of funding after a lot of these Jewish folks leave those schools.
Mm-hmm.
They pass their money back down.
Yeah, yeah. So, they fund the schools.
And they're going to lose a lot of that funding, too.
Yeah, and they're simply also losing their good name.
Mm-hmm.
Their name meant everything. Ivy League meant everything. Columbia, that was the brand. This brand looks way out of touch.
You also had Biden yesterday. Well, it was reported yesterday. This actually happened Wednesday. But he called Japan, who, of course, is a close ally, and also India, called them xenophobic at a fundraiser. He was doing this. So he just spoke with the Tokyo prime minister at a White House state dinner just a couple weeks ago. And then he has this other fundraising dinner Wednesday night. And this is with Asian American and Pacific Islander donors. He says, you know, one of the reasons why our economy is growing is because of you and many others. Why? Because we welcome immigrants. He said, we look to the reason. Look, think about it. Why is China stalling so bad economically? Why is Japan having trouble? Why is Russia? Why is India? Because they're xenophobic. They don't want immigrants. And of course, Japan, with reason to take issue with Biden basically calling them racist, right? Or that they don't want these immigrants in their country. And he says that's the reason they're failing. You had Republicans speaking out on behalf of Japan, Marco Rubio. That is why his staff doesn't want him speaking without those note cards.
Mm.
You have a former Pentagon official, Elbridge Colby, who said Japan and India are two of our very stoutest and important allies. We should speak of them with respect, which they command and deserve. So,
well, not the case in India. So let's look at these case by case, all right? Compared to the United States, Japan's landmass is like a shopping center. You know, they have limited.
Yeah.
They just can't, hey, y'all come on in.
Right.
I don't think that'd be wise for Japan to do that. And the other thing about, you know, okay, immigrants are great strength in the U.S., I understand we are a nation of immigrants. The Irish had it; they were nearly tarred and feathered when they came over here with no skills, and you know they just showed up and it was like, oh, what are we going to do with these guys?
Yeah,
and you know their farms are depleted with the famine, and now these bozos come over here and they're ruining our nation. All right, so anyway, we adjusted. We went to college. We're doing okay now. We're not so bad. But when you're talking about that, how about legal immigrants?
Mm-hmm.
Are you lumping in all these people come, what is it, 2 million in the last couple of years?
Well, they're saying 7 million over the border since Biden took office. So
are they all making our city safer? It doesn't seem like
well,
it.
Well, they might be driving the economy, like Biden said, but it's also the reason that housing is so expensive.
Yep.
It's a reason that a lot of things are so expensive.
I mean, you're going to, the health of these people, some of these people came from terrible circumstances. I get it. You've got young mothers, you've got families, you've got children, no fault of their own. But when you pretty much had a sign up at the border, come see us and we'll see what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a hotel having the light on. So if they're in a bad spot in whatever third world situation they were in, if you're inviting them here, I don't blame them for coming, but good Lord.
But tough week for Team Biden, both in front of cameras and not in front of cameras.
Yeah.
Stepping in the foreign policy mess here and with the Israeli protester comments. And then Howard Stern, you know, they said he lied a couple more times in that interview. So rough week for Team Biden.
850 Dan and Dalton on Mobile Morning. Oh, yeah. I haven't had kidney stones in a while. It just reminded me about that cute little ailment that my body produces. But it's been a while. It's been a while. Thank goodness. I haven't really changed much about my diet or anything.
So. I've heard, you know, I've I've known some women who've gotten kidney stones, and they don't have fun. But no. It really sounds like when men get kidney stones, it's also not very fun.
It's maddening pain.
Yeah,
I would say.
And you know who kind of plays with that kind of energy? That energy that
of a, the energy of a kidney stone.
That it's time to get rid of that, like the anger that a kidney stone would bring on a body.
Okay, now I'm starting to relate.
That would be Judas Priest.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they play angry.
Yeah.
And they're a great band, and they'll be playing here in Mobile a week from Sunday, May 12th.
They're not alone.
Judas Priest with special guest Sabaton.
Sabaton's going to be there, too.
Right. May 12th, Mobile Civic Center Arena, and your chance to win tickets right now. A pair of tickets to caller number 5-251-343-0106. Judas Priest with special guest Sabaton.
They sound like their lead singer's like Michael Bolton on LSD.
That's right.
I like him.
That was your first thought when we saw Sabaton.
Yeah.
May 12th, you can get tickets at the Civic Center box office, or you can be the caller who's getting tickets right now. 251-343-0106. Jeff Porshow on the way. Who's he going to talk to? Well, Todd Stacey in hour number one.
Okay.
A lot to get to with Todd.
He'll be talking about Montgomery and then the Bills and all that.
That's right. Hour number two, Eastern Shore Republican Women's Judy Barlow. And hour number three, Caroline Dobson, the GOP representative in the AL2 race. And then State Senator Chris Elliott wraps it up on a Friday edition of the Jeff Porshow on the way.
All right. Well, they can certainly drill down on that gambling bill now. So it's going to go in. Is going to go back to committee? There's more changes, or what's?
I don't think so. I think Senate's got to figure it out.
Yeah. Wow.
Whether they're going to vote on it or not, I don't know if they'll take another crack at changing the legislation again. Mm. But it sounds like they're going to have to in order to get some of these votes. Summerdale Tony texting in said regarding Kane Womack, my policy in business has always been never discourage somebody for bettering themselves. See, and I agree, Summerdale Tony, I agree we should be good people, but this is not about being a good person.
Mm-hmm.
It's about being a good fan for the University of South Alabama and what kind of standards you set as an organization. I'm just saying, even if you think Kane Womack was going on to bigger and better things, you have to resent the fact that he chose to leave your school. So I'm just trying to figure out, as fans of South, are we supposed to look kindly upon Kane Womack when he comes back to town or not?
He looked kindly upon him that he took the job in the first place. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He had his talents. He had his, his ability to connect with the community. Really outgoing guy. And you were thankful for the time we had with him, Dalton.
Okay.
Why don't you just look at it that way?
You're being the bigger man. I can tell. Irish Indian says you can't ride two mules with one ass. It's a great saying. Martin says,
what's he mean?
I'm not sure. FYI, the healing wall will be in Robertsdale next week. Will said, and conservatives are the Nazis. Pretty soon, these open progressives will be offering up a new final solution under a different name. Derek, regarding the free speech laws that were discussed in D.C. this week, said, careful what you choose to suppress. One day, that can be used against you. Also, Gardner texting in, how many of these university presidents and leaders have DEI or anti-American backgrounds? Everyone acts like they are weak leaders when, in fact, they are successfully accomplishing what they were hired to do. Why is no one talking about the Egyptian-born Muslim woman that is the president of Colombia? Now, I know the Republicans in the Congress were talking about trying to get her up out of there.
Yeah.
I don't know if they talked about where she was from or her religion or anything. But
all these hirings, meeting quotas, and just window dressing, it just... Man, it does not have good outcomes.
Well, we kind of saw the beginning of it with, what was it, Claudine Gay?
Yeah.
He had Harvard, MIT, a couple other
Penn
University presidents. When we saw them actually speak to America or speak to Congress, we were like, wow, these are the people that are in charge over there?
Just emotional lightweights, for sure.
Yeah.
It's 8:59 FM Talk 106.5, Dan and Dalton. See you on Monday, beginning at 6 a.m.